Today begins the Feast of Purim. It's a very special feast to the Jews. It's their fun feast. But the things that happened or were to happen weren't funny. In a sense, this feast is like the carnival feast of the Jews. They exchange gifts and they do a lot of dancing and a lot of celebrating, and they do this yearly. We know about this feast in the book of Esther. And today and tomorrow, I want to restate for us some things from this book that we need to glean from and experience as God's people. This is a book that I've preached from, I guess I did towards the end of last year. I shared with you about this story. But I sense the Lord is asking me to revisit it. This happens to be the very first time we'll be celebrating this feast. We've never done it. It's the very first time, and I believe it is because it is a timing issue. The book of Esther is a book that I've not really spent time preaching from in my 40 plus years of ministry until I believe last year. And the Lord is asking me to do this again at this time. Again, I want to state, I believe it's a time and issue. And I believe that this next 3 days are going to be telling days for us. I want you to receive whatever it is that God wants to communicate with us. Now, interestingly enough, the book of Esther is the one book in all of the scriptures where the name of God is not mentioned in any way, shape, or form one time. The name of God is not mentioned. However, the application and the manifestation of what a life connected to God can bring about and the things that God will do for his people is proficient. It's all over the book. And the message in it is this, that when we are God connected, we don't have to be, you know, shouting the name of God everywhere for people to know that we are the people of God, but rather that the will of God and the grace of God manifested in our lives will cause the glory of God to be manifested in the midst of us, and that glory will impact the community at large. Amen? So I'm asking God to do something for us, that we become men and women that are so seasoned, marinated with his glory, that we don't have to say anything before people hear. In essence, even in saying nothing, we preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This book, the book of Esther, is one of the five books. Now, we have the first five books called the Pentateuch, which is Genesis to Deuteronomy. Now, there's another set of five books called the Megillot. And the Megillot includes this book, the book of Esther. We have in that collection the Song of Solomon. We have the book of Lamentations. We have the book of Ruth and the book of Ecclesiastes. These are five combined books called the Megillot. Now, this book is a very interesting book because it tells us so clearly that God is in control of our lives if we let him. Amen? And we are going to see in this book a verse that I struggled with for a long time when I started studying through the book of Esther. And I wondered, why is this statement here? And I've been asking God, tell me. I've commented about it now and then, but I really did not have a grasp of it until God revealed to me what it was that this was all about, and I'm going to share it with you today. And I want us, every one of us, to transpose ourselves, to move from how we think to this dimension of grace, because I believe God wants to do something very unique with those who know His truth. And as we embrace the truth of the Word of God, we will be elevated. This is a book of advancement. The word advancement is used again and again, and the word enlargement is used again and again, because this is the place where God wants to enlarge us and advance us. Amen? I am setting myself up by His grace to receive supernatural advancement and enlargement to the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ahasuerus, or King Xerxes, was an emperor of 127 provinces. These 127 provinces covered all the way from Africa, all of Ethiopia into India, most of the Middle Eastern area. This was not a small empire. It was a great empire, a strong, powerful empire. And this empire, ungodly as it was an empire that God was going to use to bless His people. Amen? And the message is this: it doesn't matter who is sitting up there. When God is in control, He will even cause your enemies to become a blessing to you. Amen? Please receive that statement in your spirit tonight, that God will bless me any which way He chooses to. Glory be to God. Doesn't have to be a holy roller for me to get blessed. Amen? God will use even the devil to be a blessing to you. When God chooses you to bless you, you are blessed. Somebody put your hand on your head and say, I am blessed of the Lord. Nobody can withhold the blessing from me. When God has blessed me, nothing can stand against me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The other thing I want us to see during this next 2-3 days is this. God is going to go right through your genealogy, generations past, from wherever they came from, and heal that generation as it pertains to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, there's something that's popular today. People do genetic DNA checkups, and they begin to find out where they came from. And you'll be amazed what your roots might be. You might think you're Ukrainian, and then you find out that you're Irish. That your bloodline goes and you are Irish, and you ended up, and some of your roots went back to Africa and some to France. And you may find out that some of your roots go back to a very devilish root, and that your forefathers were actual pagans, idol worshippers, Satan worshippers. And one thing I learned is that iniquities are not addressed until you speak the word. You got to speak the word to eradicate certain things in your life, or else it keeps on dogging you. Even though Jesus Christ has paid the price, if you don't go and cash the check, it is not yours yet. We did spend time studying that, didn't we? So, during the course of these meetings, we are going to go through a deliverance experience where we're going to ask God to go right through our roots, right through, and deal with every stage in my spiritual, my physical bloodline, and deal with anything that will contradict or cause a delay in the blessings of God being made manifest in my life. That God will cut every such thing off. Even as he has done, so let it now be done in my life. Because Jesus came to address the issue of iniquities. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, this book deals with that. The Bible tells us, as we begin, it says in verse 1, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. That's 127 provinces. That in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the powers of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 84 days. In other words, 180 days. Who throws a party for 180 days? This king did. And he had all his princes, all his leadership, his key leaders together in his palace. And for 180 days, they ate and drank nonstop. Everybody, nobody was to be restrained. You drink as much as you want to drink. You eat as much as you want to eat. Nobody's going to be forced to do anything, and nobody's going to be stopped from doing anything. For 100, that's 6 months. A whole half a year. These guys are partying. They are celebrating. And then after he finished that, he started another 7 days right away. Another 7 days where he invited everybody else to come. And it says, and when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. 187 days. And on the seventh day, and while he's doing this, Vashti the queen is busy doing her thing. She throws a big party too. So the whole palace is just a party place. On the seventh day, he sent some of his officers to go get Vashti. He wanted Vashti to come and wanted to show everybody how beautiful Vashti, or some people say Vashti, was. Vashti refused to come. When she refused to come, the princess said, listen, king, emperor, we cannot have this. This woman has publicly disgraced you. You asked her to come, and she won't come. Now, you've got to deal with this, because if you don't, our wives are going to start doing the same thing. And then it's going to be a mess. This woman did not just offend you. She offended everybody. All the men. Now, first bunch of male chauvinists. Vashti, first feminist. And here these two come to clash. She won't come, and they were not going to accept that. Ahasuerus flies off the handle. He's upset. because of this contempt. And they advised him. They said, you know what? You got to replace this woman. You got to replace her. Now, all of this was happening, but in the natural, it just seemed that that was what was happening. But really what was happening was God was on the move. God was on the move. Why was God on the move? Because some 200 or 300 years prior, something had happened related to a king called Saul. Saul had been assigned to go wipe out a group of people called the Amalekites. Now, these Amalekites, 100 years or some 400, 500, 600 years prior, had done something that God was angry about. They had come and attacked the Israelites. They had delayed the Israelites from coming into their promise, from coming into the blessing that God had for them. And God said, I hate these people. I'm going to wipe them out. And so God told Saul, go get rid of these Amalekites. Kill every one of them. And Saul went and he killed everybody, but saved the cows, the sheep, and their king called Agag. Brought that guy home, and Samuel, the prophet, comes and says, did you do what God said for you to do? He said, I did everything completely. Everything was right on. The prophet says, so you did, huh? Yes, I did. So, what is the sound of the bleating of sheep that I hear? Oh, the people said we should bring some of this stuff and so that we can have sacrifices to our God. Ah. Really? That's all you did? Oh, and by the way, we brought back their king, Agag. You brought back the king, Agag. So Samuel goes, takes his sword, and the prophet kills Agag. But he says to Saul, obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Now this is all happening way back. But what happened then is being tracked to this very present time in which Esther is going to be queen. But here's Vashti. Vashti's queen, and they need a replacement. So they gather all these beautiful ladies from all of these provinces, and they are presented to the palace of Shushan, and they go through some rites. And the rites, Bible tells us, was a rite that was going to take place for a whole year. 6 months, they go through a certain kind of purification, and then another 6 months through another set of purification. And the idea about it is this, that if you are going to be a queen, that the old smells on your life need to be eradicated. Ultimately, that change must take place. And I know this for a fact, that poverty has a smell of its own. And God wants to get rid of poverty out of our lives. Please hear this. For a whole year, they go through this process of purification. And after that, they were going to be presented to the king, Ahasuerus. And whoever it is that he chooses was going to become the queen. And so it was. They were going through this process, and the Bible tells us that Esther was also going to be presented to the emperor. Now, how did she get here? Who is she? Who is this lady called Esther, whose real name is Hadassah? She is the niece of a guy called Mordecai. The Bible tells us in chapter 2 and verse 5, "Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Kish, a Benjamite." Why is that important? Because this Kish, this Benjamite, this is the family of Saul, the King Saul that was told to kill the Amalekites. Are you with me so far? So you see the connection is going way back. Now, they were brought into exile, and they are right there in Shushan. And this young girl, the father, the mother, were dead. And Mordecai raises her up as his own. And Bible says that the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Now, when all of this is happening, Esther did not go apply for herself to be part of this pageantry. But Mordecai heard the news, and Mordecai went and applied for her. And I can tell you stories about how that I can relate to that particular situation. But that's not what I want to get at today. Anyway, she was applied for something that she was not qualified for in the natural. You're an orphan. Who's going to stand for you? Your father and your mother are gone. They're dead. Who's going to speak for you? Mordecai. But Mordecai, God wants to deliver him and his family because he comes from the family of Saul, the king. And there was an enemy right there in that same setting, in that same palace. His name is Haman the Agagite. Guess what? Haman the Agagite is family with Agag, the king of the Amalekites. So here are two people from way back whose parents had a battle. And now it was happening in the present. That's why I say to you that God wants to heal our past. God wants to go way back. I don't know what your roots are, and you may not know what my roots are. And I don't care what they say with the DNA and whatever it is. If I went to check on my roots, it doesn't matter, because after you find out that you are from Ghana or from Togo or from wherever it is that you came from, you don't know what your fathers did in there. And I don't care to know what my fathers or my mothers or whoever did there. I don't care whether my father was Cree or Ojibwe or whatever. It doesn't matter whether my heritage was headhunters or cannibals. It doesn't matter. What matters this day is that whatever the past is must be buried in the past, because God is going to bring to an end anything that is haunting me in my present, in the name of Jesus. God's healing power must confront every enemy. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Lord, you know my story. From the beginning to the end, any part of my story, any part of my history that is creating a problem for me now or will create a problem for me in the future, my God, my Father, my Redeemer, my Deliverer, break the backbone of that iniquity, destroy it, and heal me of the influence, the impact, and the control of that evil past, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. So here she is brought. And when she is brought to this setting, she meets a man called Haggai. Haggai is the eunuch that's taking care of the king's house. And when she gets there, something that every one of us need was already resting on her. And the Bible says that she found favor. She found favor in the sight of Haggai. It says in verse 9, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. She received kindness of him. But there's something that I want you to see here, hidden in that statement, because the word of God could have simply just said, she received kindness of him. It used the word obtain. The word obtain also means received. But the word obtain means to get. But the word to get means that you did something. It doesn't just fall. You did something. And today, I want you to declare with me, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I receive ability by your Spirit to receive by obtaining now favor in my life. I obtain favor. I grab it. I take it. I pull it into my life. Favor, come to me now in Jesus' mighty name. Everywhere we go, we must receive favor. When people look at you, they must favor you and not know why they are favoring you. I was talking to somebody today, trying to do some negotiating with them. And the person says, I don't understand why you're getting all these breaks. Because people who are spending all kinds of money are not getting what you are getting at the price you're getting it. You're buying a little and you're getting the break that other people that are spending thousands are not getting. What is this? And I'm just smiling. It's called favor. Every day when I say I'm blessed and highly favored, what do you think that is for? Hallelujah. But this I know. If you don't use your favor, a favor will not work for you. You say, how do you use your favor? I negotiate. Because they give me a price, and I negotiate. And I say, this is what I think I'm going to pay. Get it for me at that price. No, it's not possible. And I end up getting it at the price I asked for. But if I didn't ask, guess what? I won't get it. Understand that when you know that favor is on your life, please hear me, when you know that favor is on your life, you got to use it. Amen? It is for you to use favor. Many years ago, we had a bus shack right in front of this building. And they told me the city will never move it. Why? Because it's in their bylaws. Once they put something down, they don't remove it. I said, really? Until the day that I knew favor was upon me and I made a call. I don't know how I got the number, but I made a call. And I told the guy what I wanted. He said, it's not possible. I said, it's very possible. He said, why do you think it's possible? I said, because I'm asking for it. What are you asking? I said, I want that bus shelter moved from there, away from my building. It's making a mess of the building. But that's how it is. I said, that's what you say. But I'm saying to you, you're going to move it. Okay, he hangs up. She was working in the office at the time. She calls me. I was at Salisbury with a brother. Calls me and says, some people from the city here waiting, looking for you. I get here, and they were there all with their nice ties and stuff like that. And when they saw me, they said, I said, you looking for me? They said, yes, sir. He said, we understand that you want this shack moved. I said, yes. Where do you want it to be moved to? I told them exactly where it is now. I said, you move it over there. Yes, sir, that's what we will do. Four of them came. And they moved that thing. It's called using your what? Favor. Use your favor. If you don't use the favor that God has placed on your life, you will be hopeless and helpless. Use your favor. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, anyway, she found favor. And this man, the Bible says, he speedily, somebody says speedily, gave her things for purification. In other words, there were other people that were there and they were doing red tapes and whatever tape, bureaucratic stuff, and slowing down, this guy has to sign for this and this person is not here. No, they moved everything, and Johnny just came and she had everything she needed. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the grace of moving speedily rest upon your life. May things happen in your life speedily to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, let that which man must bring to you be brought to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Do you receive it? Hallelujah. They were brought to her speedily with such things as belonged to her. I like that statement. The things that belong to her. What are these things that belong to her? Those are the things that you have been assigned, but nobody has written it down very clearly so that you know that you know that you know that that has been assigned to you. These are extra benefits. I remember many years ago, I was flying all over the place, going from place to place, from place to place, place to place, spending all this money. And because of the heavy amount of travel, I also wanted to have access to the lounges. And so I had to pay extra money to get passes for the lounge. And one day, Mom and I were in the lounge in Toronto, the Toronto airport. And this lady looks at us and she says, why are you using this? I see you here all the time. Why are you using passes? I said, because I need to. She said, show me your ticket. So I showed the ticket. Oh, she says to me, you buying the wrong ticket. You buying the wrong ticket. Because the ticket you're buying, you have to fly 3 times to get 1 point, full point. But if you had spent only $30, sometimes $40 more, maybe $50, you get all the 3 points. All each trip will be 1 point. So you understand what I mean? So I said, oh. So what kind of a ticket is this, she tells me. And I bought 2 more tickets, and I was qualified. I would have been spending all kinds of money and buying passes and passes, but right information came to me, and speedily, I moved into another dimension. Are you with me so far? And from that day, I said, no more do I buy that ticket. It is the same ticket just like everybody else, but just a little bit more. Now, you can buy the same one that gives you all of that, and you can spend all kinds of money up to here, but I just buy just enough, amen, to get all the impact. Glory be to God. There are things that you don't know. I found out why rich people get so rich. They don't spend money like you do. With just a little information, you can change your status. Now, you say, what does this have all to do with Esther? We're talking deliverance. Amen? I'm not promoting any hotel line or anything like that. But the fact is, rather than just traveling and you stay in this hotel and then you stay in a different kind of hotel, a different chain, concentrate yourself on one hotel chain and build up so that you have a status. Because when you get to a particular status, you don't have to be paying money for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You eat everything that people are eating downstairs, wherever. They are paying $40 and $50 for to get a meal. Upstairs, in a lounge, for free. You just saved yourself money because you thought right. You managed right. I'm just talking about simple stuff. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Everything that you do, find out, how are you guys doing this? Because there's somebody that has information that you are clueless to. And so Hege knew certain things. And because she found favor, they brought those things. It was not her own clothes. It was not her own jewelry. It was not anything that she had. It was stuff that was set aside for certain people. And because she found favor, she got everything. And speedily. Hallelujah. May you find favor in the sight of God and the sight of man, so that things that you don't have a clue about come your way. In Jesus' mighty name. There are things that people are enjoying that you are not enjoying because you don't know. But God is going to bring people that know things, and they'll say, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but this is the way that you should go about this. In the name of Jesus Christ. You may be in government, working for the government, but there's a way to keep on climbing in government and not getting laid off. You need to know the secret. Find out somebody who knows the secret and move up. In anything that you're doing, there's a secret. There's a code. May God grant you the codes that you need to experience the advancement that you need in your profession, in your relationships, in everything that you do, so that you are a surprise to your generation. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 There is something. There's a secret. Put your hand on your head. I receive the secrets that are necessary for me to fulfill my destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, I shall not be robbed of anything that I need. I receive it all. In the mighty name of Jesus, Satan, you are rebuked. Get off of my life. Get out of my way. I am loved. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Favor is upon my life. Increase is upon my life. Advancement is for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. It says, with such things as belong to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. That's where it came from. Out of the what? King's house. I wonder what the other ladies got. But she got the best of the best. The best of the best comes to you in Jesus' name. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. I remember the first time I preached on this, I talked about the the place in the place. Listen, child of God, there's a, there's a place in a place. You may all be flying from the same jet, but there's a place in a place. When God catapults you, there's a place in a place. Listen, you can be flying with everybody and you have your own private chef. Do you understand? Your own private chef that comes and just concentrates on you, on whatever it is that you need, and they will cook your food right there. You're in the same plane. You are in the back there with Pangolo. Oh, only the Nigerians understood that one. You, with tin can, eaten from... Why somebody's in with China? You know, the annoying thing about it, you know, when they are up in the front there with the China, they start making noise with their plates. Kling, 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 to let you know you're in the back, man. No, I'm not staying in the back. I'm staying in the front. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. God did not assign me to the back. Glory be to God. There's something called favor. I tell you what, that favor, sometimes even when you did not pay to sit up in the front there, favor will locate you and say, you, come here, give me your ticket. They bring their ticket and they tear it. You're wondering, why did they tear my ticket? I need my ticket. And they bring you another ticket and you've been promoted, advanced. Let advancement come upon your life in Jesus' name. The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can advance you. I've experienced it over and over and over. You don't have to pay like everybody else pays. Favor paves the way for you. I say favor paves the way for you. In the name of Jesus, that favor must rest upon our lives. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody shout favor.
Favor.
It's a powerful thing. Anyway, here is this young lady. She goes through all the process. Everybody else has been brought to the king. And when they finish, they send them off. They finish, they send them off until it was her turn. Each one, when they came, when it was their turn, they will ask, Hagar will ask them, what would you like? Here's a wardrobe. Anything you want here. It's your turn to go before the king. And they will go and they pick whatever it is they want. Pick the earrings, the whatever. Came to the turn of Hadassah or Esther. And Esther says to Hagar, no, I'm not picking anything. What do you mean you're not picking anything? I want you to pick for me. What? You want me to pick for you? Yeah. You don't... My makeup, everything, I let you handle that. Wow. And that even caused more favor to be extended to her. This woman is letting me? Okay. While the others were busy, you know, watching YouTube and whatever else to find out, you know, what Vashti used to wear, this lady says, no, no, I want to know what you want me to wear before the king. And I am certain whatever he chose for her just enhanced her beauty even more. Took cognizance of her shape, of her face, everything, and caused her to pop. Chose the right colors. You know, you can choose, you can, have you seen, let me put it this way, have you seen
let's say the same car, five or six of the same car, different colors, and there's one color that causes the car to pop. Well, there are colors that cause you to pop, that cause you to stand out. There are colors that cause you to just become drab. You're the same person, but what you choose can enhance you or diminish you. And it's somebody else who sees you that can tell better sometimes. You know, there's some things I put on, and my family, I think this is good. And my family looked at me, no. Then I check with somebody, no. I like it. No, it doesn't matter. But there's some things I don't like it. And you say, this is it. Huh? You mean you like this? And everybody likes it. Well, sometimes it takes somebody else to see what you don't see. And Esther knew that. And when she presented herself to the king, that was it. One show, the guy sees her and says, bring the crown. We are not doing any more interviews. No more interviews, no more checking. This is it. And so that was the end of it. Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't tell us whether she was the last one, but if she was the last one, well, this is good. The last became first. But if she wasn't, any other interview that took place was, will our people will talk to your people. That was it. But Vashti was the queen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So shall it be for you. When you show up, that's it. Yeah. Amen. When you show up, that's it. I say, when you show up, that's it. They're not looking for anybody else. You come and you're trying to do a contract, and as soon as they see your paper, they don't know why. But say, I don't know. Your price is higher than everybody else's, but we choose yours. Glory be to God. Someone say, favor is on my life. I advance in Jesus' mighty name. Well, we started out with Haman and Mordecai. We're talking about Vashti. Vashti is now queen. And one day, Mordecai, sitting at the gate, hears two guys talking. What they say? Oh, they're plotting to kill the king. What? That's my daughter's husband they're trying to kill. So she goes and tells Queen Vashti, they're trying to kill your husband. Who? Mentions the names of the guys. Ah. Okay. So they investigated. When they investigated, they found out that the coup was a real thing. So they killed both men. They hung them. Bible says, and when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. That's a very interesting statement. So the king gets this information. Guys are hung. And in chapter 3, that ends chapter 2. In chapter 3, we read, after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. What is going on? The last verse of chapter 2 says, they inquired, they found out that what Mordecai said was the truth. But the next statement we read is that Haman is getting promoted. This is not going the right direction. How is Haman getting promoted when I'm the one who found out that those guys did this crazy thing? That's sometimes what happens in life. You do all the work and somebody else is enjoying. There's an old song we used to sing in Nigeria. Poor man, they suffer. Monkey, they walk. Baboon, they chop. So the poor man is suffering. Monkey is working. The baboon is eating. Why is it that I'm doing all the work and somebody else is getting the credit? Hear me. Are you listening? It's only short-lived. Because if you are faithful at doing what God has called you to do, whoever it is that is sitting on your seat is just warming it up for you. Amen? They're just warming it up for you. Your seat is your seat. Nobody is taking over your seat. They may think they are in charge, but God is raising you up. Hallelujah. I say God is raising you up. It doesn't matter who is sitting there now. When time is up, they will be popped up like Jack in a box. Out. Are you hearing me? Are you sure you're hearing? I said to you, whoever is occupying your seat will be removed. They may be getting credit for whatever it is that you did. But the time stops. Because this same word advancement is what is going to be used about Mordecai later. He's going to be the one who's going to be advanced. But in the immediate situation, somebody else was enjoying all of his work. He found out all of this, but the Bible tells us that Esther took record of it and made note of it in the Chronicles and put the guy who was responsible for doing it, name there, Mordecai. It was a setup. God was busy setting up everything. May I say to you, before I begin to pray today, so I'm going to wrap this up for now. Understand this. God knows every single detail. And he's busy working on your behalf. He's doing something on your behalf that you know nothing about right now. He's working out every detail. Amen? And the fundamental thing that is true for you and for me is this: for us to abide in the realm of faithfulness, because God is going to do something extraordinary for you. Amen? The Lord says, I should say, do one more thing. So I'm going to go and I'm going to deal with this. This is a passage of scripture, and I'll pick it up tomorrow. This is a passage of scripture that concerned me because I did not understand right away what was being addressed. So I'm going to go ahead of myself for a moment. Now pick it up next, tomorrow. When this particular situation happened, Mordecai was upset. Everybody was told to respond to Haman in a particular posture and and he was not going to have any part of it. This is a guy who took the glory that belongs to me, the honor that belongs to me. This guy usurped my place. I'm not going to bow down to him. And his friends kept on telling him, please do it. And he kept on giving an excuse. And his excuse was that he was a Jew. Now, this is the same thing he told his daughter or niece not to do. Don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. But when you allow yourself to be upset and you become bitter, you start doing things that you know you have no business doing. That's a lesson to learn. Amen? But even God was in that. Because God wanted to get rid of this Haman. He wanted to deal with something that is threatening the security of his people. And the fullness of time had come. And so it was, when he got this honor, that means Haman, the Bible says, he set his mind to destroy the Jews, primarily Mordecai. And he comes to the king, and he says to the king, there's a group of people called the Jews. They are all over the place. They are diverse people. They disperse among all the people. They are everywhere. These people are everywhere. They are everywhere. But they are troublemakers. And he says, I want to pay for their destruction. He says, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will do what? Pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. I'm going to pay and I'm going to hand this to the king's treasury. But I want all of these people that are against you, king, wiped out. The Bible says, and the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedata the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Really didn't make any sense to me. This guy comes and is giving you all the money and says, I'm paying for the destruction of all these people. The king turns around, gives him his ring, and says, I'll pay for it. What gives? Okay, I guess that's how it happened. But something was nagging inside there. God, what is this all about? You're trying to say something. What is it that you're trying to say? What exactly are you trying to say? I want you to know that I did not know this until today. This is information that the Lord spoke into my spirit today. I said, no way. And I could hear in my spirit, yes, way. God, ask me what the Lord said to me. I'll just give you one level of it. One level. The Lord said to me, and you know, sometimes you know certain things to be true, but it's not become rhema. It's just logos to you. It's just information. But there comes a time when it becomes part of you. Bang. Settled. Finalized. Sealed. The Lord said, when Haman gave and offered to do this, he says, it's akin to when you bring something and say, God, I am releasing this for the souls of men, because I want to destroy, plow down and destroy the territory of the evil one. He says, when you do that, I give you my ring. The ring represented everything that the emperor had. It was a blank check or a credit card, a platinum. Federal Express platinum card that you can use. You want to go and buy a plane, you just drop the card and you buy the plane. Are you with me? God was saying, listen, the lesson I want you to know is this, that when he said this, the king had to respond the way I respond. Your account becomes my account. When you surrender and you say you want to do something that is going to benefit me, because Haman said, these people are your enemies. I'm going to destroy them for you. And I'm going to pay for destroying them. It's like when you come to God and you say, God, I am investing for souls. I want to destroy the kingdom of darkness. God says, I give you my ring. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I give you my ring. I'll pay for it. You don't have to pay for it, but the very fact that you are willing to do this for me, I'm going to top you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is going to do something extraordinary for somebody. I don't know who you are, but God is going to do something that you cannot in any way explain, other than you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has blessed you and that there's no time that you are empty, because God is totally full. Hallelujah. 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 It jumped within my spirit. I said, now I get it. Now I get it. That's why you gave your ring. That's why you didn't just give your ring. You said, the bill is on me. God is going to match every one of us supernaturally. Whatever it is that is tying up anything that God has blessed us with, this day, the God of heaven destroys every such thing. He releases to us his authority. His authority. I tell you something I've not, maybe I might have shared it here once, maybe not. I was a student. And I've always liked wearing jewelry for some reason. I like wearing rings and chains, and I still like wearing it. If Mama lets me, I'll be wearing a big knife. I just like it. Amen? Okay. So the Lord says to me one day, He says, I don't want you wearing any rings. Huh? Not until you get married. What? Why? He says, because I want to give to you my signet ring. I didn't even know what that word signet meant. I had to go look at the dictionary. What is signet? Signet is a ring of authority. It was like the credit card. You know, you have the signet ring of that's a seal. Anything you put that signet ring on becomes legal. It opens any kind of door. I said, okay. So I took my rings off. As soon as I did that, things started to change in my life. Started to turn around. I started having entrance into places I had no business entering into. I actually came out of Nigeria. Do you know how I came out of Nigeria? I came out of Nigeria Because after I did this was when I got my call. And the call was so extraordinary, the noise went within Nigeria and went outside Nigeria. That here I was a young kid, and I get a letter from my spiritual father, Maurice Arula. I've never met him. Never met him in all of my life. I received a letter from him inviting me to a convention in July. They don't have conventions in July. He only has a mini thing in May, and then in September, and then January, three meetings. But this one was in July. And the person, this is where I say favor is something beyond description. The person that God used to bring me out of the country was a man of God called John Azeke. This guy was a short guy, but powerful, anointed. This is a preaching machine. Sharply dressed all the time. It was in this man's meeting, our church hosted a crusade for him. And during this man's meeting, why am I telling you all these stories today? During this man's meeting, so many souls were saved. That's when I knew about speaking in tongues and all of this stuff. And what language is this people speaking? Well, anyway, I'm in my room and on my knees speaking in tongues, and I see what speaking in tongues does. Because the devil does not understand what you're saying. And it creates confusion in the territory of the evil one. Now, all of these things are happening. Things are beginning to flip, change. I'm moving at a speed that was not normal to me. And before you know it, it is this John Azeke who took me for the first time. I flew with him out of Nigeria. I know nobody in the U.S. Nobody. He took me to the U.S. We went to that conference, and he takes me to Las Vegas, where he was going to be ministering, and I'm hanging around there in Las Vegas, but God had made a connection. While I was in that meeting in San Diego, something happened. I'm there, and I'm walking, and I see this lady and another lady. They come out of an elevator, and I say hi to them. I walk outside the building. I come back in. I'm standing. And all of a sudden, I see this lady's come back up of the elevator. I'm wondering, I've been here all the while. How did they get on an elevator? I didn't know there was a basement. You know, I'm so green. I don't know nothing about nothing. But there's a parkade, and they came through the parkade up, and they introduced me to their mother. And this mother now loves me. And while I'm in Las Vegas, she'd given me a number. Call me when you get to Las Vegas, because I told them I was going to Las Vegas. So I called her, and she says, I want you to come stay with me. I knew nobody. Somebody's inviting me to come stay with them. Lord, what should I do? He says, go. So I leave Las Vegas. When John Azeke was flying back to Nigeria, I was flying to San Jose to go stay with this family. They took me in as their own. Are you with me? This is how God started to change things. Flip, flip. He had already put the signet ring. I am pain. I am pain. I am pain. And when my dad did not have any money to send to me, not because he didn't have any money, but because the government was broke and it wouldn't do foreign exchange, God was still signing. Until this day, he's still signing. Amen? Let God take control of everything concerning you. And I tell you what, it doesn't matter what the bill is, God knows how to fund it. Amen? He has his own special GoFundMe program. Praise the Lord. And he's the master funder. Hallelujah. Will you trust him to do that for you? Praise the Lord. It's called the favor of God. Remember, Jesus has been born, and God had already started funding him. Way in the east, the Magi were coming. They were not even believers. God can use anybody he wants to use. Amen? They were on the move, and they brought him everything he needed, so that when they needed to go to Egypt, they were fully funded. Whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that I need, whatever it is that we need, God is funding it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, as you commit yourself to him, he commits himself to you. Somebody lay your hands on your head and say, Lord, fund me. Fund me. Provide for me. I receive your funding. I receive your provision. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am delivered from lack. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, we're going to go deeper. And tomorrow, I'm going to lay hands on every one of us for impartation. And Friday, it's going to be ministering of the word and a time of intercession. Just praying through some of the things that we've been talking about today and tomorrow. Amen? Just driving it deep into the ground and flying the flag of the kingdom of God high. Amen? I'm expecting especially two things for every one of us during this time. The Lord asked me a very interesting question yesterday. He said to me, what are the first two things that affected man when man sinned? I said, well, because sin separated them from you, they began to experience lack, and they died from sickness. The response of the Lord to me, and I like those discussions. I cannot live without those discussions with God, because it makes the word come alive. He said, that's why my word says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. He said two things, prosperity and health, because that was the order, lack and death. Are you with me? Lack first and death second. They died. And when he spoke that to me, I said, God, that's what I'm believing you for these meetings, that you will give us those two, prosperity and health. I want you to join me in agreement concerning that. Let us obtain that. Amen? It is God's will for us. Because poverty cannot stay here. Sickness cannot stay here. Amen? Do you receive that? Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Lord, we receive everything that you have for us. We shall lack nothing. Because, Lord, you will not withhold anything from us. So, Father, let the deliverance that you wrought during this season of Purim, let it, O God, be the deliverance that is manifested in our lives. We shall not receive it by the casting of lots, as if it were by chance. But, Lord, O God, it shall be because of your determined will. This is determined. This is your divine purpose. And so, Lord, God, we receive this day your divine purpose for us. Supernatural prosperity and supernatural health. Heal and deliver. Prosper your people. You are a good shepherd. We shall lack nothing. And Lord, God, we do not have death in our lives. For though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have no reason to be afraid. For your presence, your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And you've prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Blessed be your holy name. We sit at the banquet table and we enjoy the feast, for your goodness is manifested unto us. Let everyone here present and those that we are connected with, Lord, O God, receive this grace, and let every partner listening right now receive this grace. In Jesus' sovereign name, we call it so done. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes. They said, yes. They said, yes. And amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Receive the bountiful blessings of the Lord. Honor God with your giving. I will look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening as we continue these meetings in Jesus' name.